Well, Sean Berry, congratulations on today back here in Dingle in the testimonial match for the late Brendan. It was an absolutely remarkable success. The weather was terrible, but you had a massive crowd. Talk to us about it.
Yes, Mish, it totally exceeded our expectations, and you know it just shows that the greater GAA family, when they pull together, they're a massive organisation, like, you know, and no matter what club you come from, you're just all part of the bigger family, and they all came out today in their numbers and they supported us tremendously, and we're really, really appreciative of that.
And it was all a course about making a few bob, wasn't it, Sean?
That's it, yeah. Robbie Griffin from Dingle, I think, that came up with the idea first day, and Robbie phoned me and he called a meeting in Dingle, and we sat down, four or five of us, and Robbie had the idea of setting up a scholarship, and we discussed it and we trashed it out. So we said first thing we'd do, we'd raise funds and arrange a fundraiser, which was today, and we'd set up a scholarship in Barney's name, and the idea is that it would be an annual scholarship for a first year student who had played underage football with West Kerry, so that it would be kept within the GAA fold as such, and that it would help to commemorate Barney's memory and at the same time support some West Kerry students in their first year in college.
The game itself was a great success. Sean, it finished dramatically with a last minute penalty to draw the game 1-10 each between Dingle and West Kerry.
Yes, considering the time of the year, I suppose, and the celebrations, the two teams went at it hammer and tongs. I thought it'd be a bit of a friendly challenge, but I tell you, there was a bit of pride shown out there as well, and they got stuck into one another. There was nothing held back, and it was absolutely fantastic that last minute penalty, Christopher O'Driscoll, Barney's brother, came up from goal, and Berry did equalise the game, and it was a fitting tribute to the players, to the team, and to Barney himself.
The stand was full, there was a huge crowd around. Peter Lyons, referee, did a great job, so everything went off well. Sean, before I turn to the two lads that are with us, how are things since Barney died, and what's the atmosphere in an owner's call? Shock still abounds, I'd imagine.
It does indeed, Wishy. It was a very subdued Christmas, you know. There was a big hole in the community, like, you know, there was something missing, and I mean, Barney was a very sociable guy, a nice guy. While quite an unassuming, he'd always be in the group with all the footballers, and they'd be out together, himself and his girlfriend Kate, and there was a large group of them that socialised together, and Dingle would have been one of their regular haunts for the Christmas. It's very, very traditional for all the lads from the eastern side of the peninsula to come to Dingle, especially on St Stephen's Day and St Stephen's Night, but this year it was much more subdued because of the absence of Barney.
His mother and father, Vincent and Mary, and who remind us who's in the family?
Yeah, Vincent and Mary were here at the match today. We were delighted to see them coming out, because it's still a very, very difficult time for them, meeting people and that. Jamie, his brother, captained the team today. His older brother Jamie lives in Athenry in Galway and plays with Athenry, but he captained West Kerry today for this occasion. Then you had Christopher came on, the younger brother came on, Michal and Vincy and his sister Aisling.
Well, one of the stars of the game today was Emmett Kennedy. Emmett is with us to talk about Barney. Emmett, first of all, before I talk about Barney, you're related to, remind our listeners, who exactly you are. Where did the Kennedy name come from?
Although Paddy Kennedy would be a granduncle of mine. He played for Kerry in the 40s. Yeah. He'd be my father's uncle.
Are you always reminded of that?
I am, yeah. Every time I meet relations, or any time there's any match going on, it's probably thought of a bit more often than I'd like.
Yeah, because, of course, you'll be known for your fielding also. You're a great fielder, and you'll get that from Paddy Lartimessenham. Emmett, you were a great friend of Brendan O'Driscoll Lartimessenham. Talk to us about him. Remind us, what kind of an individual this man was?
He was an unassuming kind of guy for the amount of skill he had on the pitch. Off the pitch, he would have been a good friend of many of us. We had some great nights out together. After, I think, we had a few good years, won a few intermediates, junior championship, West Kerry League, and West Kerry Championship. We always went out and had a few beers afterwards. And you know, he was always in the group, but as Sean said, you know, he was maybe towards the back of the group, you know, having a laugh. But you know, he was never one to show off, or never one to to boast about his skills, which he had. You know, he was one of the best footballers we've had in years. You know,
was he a driven player? Did he train a lot? Was fitness his forte?
Well, I think he got a lot of fitness from the soccer. He played soccer with Lisselton and with Camp. I never saw him playing soccer now, but supposed to be a very skillful soccer player. So I think no matter what time of the year you went on the pitch with Bonnie, he was fit. And when it came to training, I think we've all said it. He was always, you know, in training he used to put he used to put 100% in the warm up. But once the match started or once there was a training, you know, match and training, then you'd see him come to the fore. And you know, any time there was any bit of a battle, Bonnie was always, you know, he was leading us.
If I was to ask you for three memories of three things, of three incidents, Emmett, that you remember that stands out, something that he did in the field, rattle off a few instances of great things he did, matches.
I suppose in nearly every match he played, he was able to pull a dummy that I don't think any player in the county could pull. He was able to, I think, I don't know, Sean, can you remember, he was able to throw the hand to one side and the fellow marking him would be gone and he'd still be standing where he is. That's one memory. I think he won the West County Championship for us there. Was that 3 years ago, Sean? Was it? I wasn't playing the same day I was injured, but I remember he kicked it from the outside of his left foot against the breeze, same breeze as we had today, and I kicked it over the bar, and it was the first. I think it was the first time we won in 8 years West County Championship. And I suppose the other memory I'd have is just probably a week before he passed away. We were out in Dingle. And we were having a few drinks, and you know, we had a bit of crack and a bit of joking inside Nash's there on Main Street. So he was always up for a bit of a laugh, you know.
Yeah. Another man that I'm delighted to have as our guest and tell us tonight is Liam Og Higgins, and of course the name Liam Higgins. Liam, you're very welcome to the program.
Thanks, Richie.
And of course, like Emmett Kennedy would be remembered, you'll be remembered by your dad, Liam Lartimerson. Anywhere you go, does your dad's name come up?
From time to time, it does. Yeah.
Anyway, we talk about Bonnie. Your memories of him, how long did you know him and how did you get to know him? Did you go to school together?
No, well, in fact, I'd be closer in age to Jamie, but I would have known Bonnie from, as the lad said there, one of the hangers-on in social occasions in Dingle when all the lads had come back west, especially Christmas time, October, the camping on a school lads, they'd have a side of the Hillgrove to themselves, the nightclub, you know. You couldn't mistake them at all. So Bonnie was always there, and I just remember then when he started playing football in the early noughties, we'd say with Honest Goal, and he was always one from then on that we watched out for. I remember in the 2004 intermediate final, we beat Honest Goal that day, actually, to go up senior, and he got special attention to be cleaning up to the game. We all spoke about Bonnie and what a threat he posed as a forward, and he was always someone you watched out for when you played against Honest Goal, when it was coming up to an Honest Goal game in West Kerry League or Championship or in County League. From a social occasion, he was just an absolute gent. You know, it was a pleasure to meet him. I remember I had a good few points at him in camp years ago. It was actually the day that Dara Shea, captain of the Gaeltacht, took to the Munster Club. Myself and Liam Senior, actually, we stopped off in Fitzgerald's in camp, and Bonnie was there with a couple of the Hurleys, I'd say, and we just had a great chat with him that night. Like, it's rare you actually had a good one-to-one conversation with the man, because as Emmett and Sean have already said, who's maybe someone who went to the back of the crowd. You'd always maybe meet a Jamie first, or a Joey McCormack, or one of those other members of the camp community, Bonnie or Bean, or, you know, one of the Genie, one of the lads. But it's weird. But I remember that night especially, because I just had a great one-on-one chat to him. And I'd say that was maybe once or twice in my life that I had that pleasure, you know.
Do you remember what you chatted about?
I do, actually. It was about, well, I don't know if I should just say this on air, actually, but as two members of clubs who were not doing so well on that occasion, we spoke about the resentment we had towards the Gaeltacht supporters.
Yeah? You were jealous.
We were basically jealous, yeah. So we got our resentments out there, and I think it helped both of us that night, you know.
How would you describe him on the field? You'd be looking at him now, you wouldn't be playing with him, you'd be looking at him. Describe him, Liam, as a player.
He was gifted. He was very, very talented. And I had the pleasure of seeing him play soccer as well, you know, with Camp United and Lisselton. I think it was fitting, actually. Emmett mentioned to Pori the dummy skill that he posed, and he seemed to do a dummy per game. And it was fitting there today that Mark Shea pulled a great dummy in the first half and kicked a point off it. It was very like watching Bonnie himself, you know. A fitting tribute to Bonnie, the fact that he did that today. He was just something you had to watch out for. No, he wasn't always consistently great. He wasn't as driven as Emmett over there or Niall Sheehy through the middle, busting through the middle runs, but he had that. He was the difference between winning and losing sometimes, yes, you know, yeah. And he was always thereabouts, and you had to be wary of him, yeah. You know.
Liam, well said. Stay there a minute. Sean, turning back to you again there now, you'd have known him, of course, since he was a young fella.
That's right, yeah. I started out, he would have been a year older than my own lad, Cullum, and my nephew, Gerard O'Shea, and I started out training them at under-12s up along through until we came to the senior ranks. And he was always one of our leaders, like, you know, on the field. You could always depend on him, a good free taker with the left leg, and he'd always chip in with a goal or two and very spectacular goals at times, like, you know, like the boy said there, sell the dummy, take on the man, and suddenly it was in the roof of the net, like, you know. And never left the club down. Like, I mean, no matter what happens, Bonnie, he'd play through injuries. He might have a soccer match on the evening before, he took out again the following evening, and never even thought of not showing and giving his all the time.
And of course, he comes from a fierce extended GA family, doesn't he?
Oh, he does, of course. Yeah, sure. All his uncles, Gene played with Kerry in the '50s. His uncle Joe. Many people mightn't know this, but he won a National League medal with New York when they came to Croke Park. New York had an outstanding team that him and I mean for a team from New York to come in and play in Croke Park. Michal, Seamus, Vincent himself, they were all stalwarts of the Owners' Call team throughout the years. And of course then when his dad Vincent married into another great GA family in the Dials, Mary Dial, and her brothers Tommy, of course, who was a legend in his own life, Johnny, who was also a Kerry senior and captain Kerry in All-Ireland Junior Championship, and Brendan and Mike, who also represented the club down through the years. So there was a huge legacy there. Then you have, of course, the extended family of the Farrells, who are their first cousins, and the McCormicks. So I can recall one day when Owners' Call were playing, and 13 of the starting 15 were either Driscoll, Farrells, and McCormicks, and the other two were the two midfielders, Emmett and Niall Sheehy. So they took up every position in the field except the two boys at midfield. Yeah.
And the only reason the two boys were on is because there wasn't two more to come on instead of them, probably. Sean. The team pulled out, the club pulled out of the West Kerry Championship, is that correct?
That's right.
In his memory. Now, I must put it to you, would it have been better to go on and try to win it in his memory?
Well,
that was it. How did you come to the decision?
Well, in fairness, it was left to the players. Yeah. It was left to the players, and they were in such an emotional state that they felt there was no way at all that they could gather themselves together and go out on the field and play in the Championship. Now, We made that decision as a club. The players made it first, and then the club backed them as we should. And it was outside of our anything outside of our control or request or anything like that. That the other clubs then decided that this was such a great young man that it wouldn't be fair to complete the Championship this year and see that he was missing. Like, yeah. You know?
Well, it was a great way of remembering Emmett, and there was no way, as Sean said, that he could have gone on. How shocked were the players, were his teammates, and it wasn't easy to get your head around it.
No, there was a full week, I suppose. Well, there was a full 3 or 4 days before the news finally came that he'd passed away, but nothing prepares you for that day, you know. I was working out above in Limerick that day when I got the news, and, you know, I didn't know where I was or what I was up to, you know. And I think it was the same for everyone. The next time we met as a team was actually in the dressing room, you know, in a skull. And we were giving out the jerseys, but I suppose it was for a reason. We never thought we'd have to. We were giving out the jerseys and we were told where to line up behind his coffin. You know, it was a bit surreal, and, you know, it was tough. It was tough on the whole team, you know.
What did he do for pastimes outside of football? Soccer?
I think football, soccer, a few pints, I think that was basically.
Was he a reader, a television man, or?
Well, I didn't, I suppose, I didn't spend too much time in his house now, but as far as I can gather, it was always either watching sport or playing sport. Yeah. He was supposed to be a good builder as well, so he obviously is working during the day, but it's mostly soccer and football that was his love.
Liam Ogg, does this put a lot of things into perspective for you and for your age group?
It certainly does, Bishi. Yeah, I suppose, you know, when you're younger, you tend to take things for granted, like maybe when Emmett and I were in our early 20s, now when we're, say, when we were in the county under 21 championship in 99, you know, things were like, life was tunnel vision then. You were only concerned about the next few months of your life. You know, it puts things in perspective, I suppose. As you get that little bit, I suppose we're that little bit older now, we all have lost close relatives, you know. So it does, it puts everything, and football especially, into perspective.
Yeah. What's your fondest memory of him? Sum up Brendan for us.
One word, I just think, a gentleman. You know, I think his uncle John had it there you know, in a nutshell, when he had some great pitches blown up on the side of the road at Camp Junction there as he passed, and he'd four or five great photos of Bonnie, one of them in the middle smiling, the rest of them in the sporting outlet. And he said, thanks for the memories, a gentleman, from your Uncle John. And I think that's just summed it up.
Yeah. Sean, the whole thing was very, very sad. And shortly afterwards in Killarney, a young boy, Conor Spillman, who was only 32, who'd be my daughter's brother-in-law, mm-hmm. he passed away. He was a great soccer player and a great GA player too. Mm-hmm. And I can appreciate the shock and everything else that went with Barney's death. And how will the community of Ownerscall get over it? How will the club get over it? Is doing what you did today now a part of the grieving process?
It is, of course. It is, of course. I mean, it's helping the family to come to grips and with the situation they're in. It's helping the community. It's helping all the players. And I mean, some people say that you need closure. I don't think there'll ever be closure. And I think today, you know, what we have done today and what we have succeeded in doing is making sure that Bonnie's memory is preserved in this scholarship now for at least the next 7 or 8 years. Anyway, like, you know.
Today, Sean, if I may say it, it might be a wrong way of putting it. It was a wonderful day in many ways. It was poignant day. It was, of course, but when you stood here in Dingle and to see the rain coming down and the dullness and to see the huge crowd and the people lighting up the place in their own way, you could see there was something special going through the air here today, wasn't there?
There was. I mean, it was a testimonial and it was a testament to Barney's career and a celebration of his place in the annuals of West Kerry football. And
will it be a yearly affair?
We're hoping so. We have ideas, and I mean, this only started about 6 weeks ago. We have ideas, you know, maybe something along the lines that whichever team wins the West Kerry Championship in future years would, during the Christmas period, then take on the rest of West Kerry in their own home pitch, you know, I wouldn't think it would be in as big a scale as we had today, because, you know, it's still very, the feelings are very raw and people are still very, he's still very, very much in their mind, but I think it's something that we can carry on, yes.
The whole day today, Sean, was fabulously organised. You brought out a programme, you had a lot of people, great stewards and everything, the West Kerry board and the Ownerscall club and yourself and all the lads, you did tremendous work.
Well, like I say, going back to the very start of the interview, it was Robbie Griffin was the first man that came up with this, and we all fell in behind him, and maybe some people were a bit sceptical, and, you know, will this work? And we were a bit worried this morning, would people turn up, because the heavens opened and the rain poured down.
I think when they heard it announced on Radio Kerry by Pat Harnett today that was going on, everyone turned up.
Yes, they did indeed. And not only that, all the volunteers we had doing the collections and things here today, they told me several people came to them and put in their own donation. There was no set fee. It was up to yourself whether you wanted to bring a cent or 50 euros, whatever. But several people came along and said, that's for myself and that's for so-and-so, he couldn't be here. That was the goodwill that was there. Like, you know.
The game finished in a draw. Dahi Ganey got man of the match, mm-hmm. and Peter Lyons, I say, was the referee. Emmett, you sum up Brendan for us.
I suppose a class act on and off the pitch, you know. A lovely guy, and you know, he had a great smile. I suppose that's what everyone will remember.
How do you miss him?
Well, you miss him on the pitch, you know. I suppose obviously we miss him off the pitch, but even in the likes of, when the chips are down, he was always the guy that used to come up and you know, he used to put in some powerful performances, especially in the last 3 or 4 years. You know, he really grew into his own, and you know, it's gonna be tough. It's gonna be tougher to miss him off the pitch, of course, but. You know, as a football player, I suppose, you look at it from a footballing point of view, you know, there's definitely a massive gap to fill.
Yeah. Do you think this will drive the team on more now in 2012?
Well, I mean, it's step by step, you know. We can't go on any kind of a siege to win everything for him, because that's the wrong way of doing it. You know, you just have to take it step by step. Yeah. And hopefully, I think, I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but hopefully Jamie and maybe Vincey and a few of the lads might come back next year and, you know, help us on our way. So, you know, trying to close the gap, you know, you'll never fill it.
Lovely. Well, yeah. Sean, last word to you. Sum up, Brendan Fuss. By the way, where did he get the word Barney?
Well, when he was young, he had beautiful blonde hair, so almost whitish blonde, and that's where the Barney came from. And there's a huge tradition around the camp area of everyone has a nickname. Like, you know, all his cousins have a nickname, so he was Barney from very, very young. But you know, I have a funny way of judging a fella. And all I'd say about Bonnie is he's the kind of man you'd love to see your daughter bringing home.
Well said. I've been talking to Liam O'Higgins, Sean Barry and Emmett Kennedy, and we were paying our little tribute here in Dingle to Barney Driscoll, Brendan Barney Driscoll, who died so tragically. Exactly when was his death, Sean?
Oh, geez, I can't remember the date. What was it? It was late October.
Late October, anyway. So come here. Well done, lads, and thanks for talking to us here on Terrace Talk. And it was a wonderful day in many ways, a very poignant day, and it was a sad day for a lot of people. You raised a good few bob. The scholarship is a great idea to remember him. And come here, thanks for talking to me.